Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we thank you, Lord, for this time that you've given us, Lord. And I just ask for your blessing on this reference to chapter 44 and, Lord, with Titus 1, verses 10 to 16. And I titled this to the unbelieving, nothing is pure. And that also goes with believing Christians. One of Titus's responsibilities is overseeing the churches on Crete was to teach them how to come against false teaching and the immoral living of some of its leaders. Paul told Titus that they had to be silenced, and if they didn't turn from these things, he was to remove them from the fellowships. In verse 10, we read, "For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision." Now, because most of the believers in the churches in Crete were new in the faith, they had very little discernment in what was being taught and actually what they were saying. Paul warned Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 to 2, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron." Now, about a year after Paul wrote to Titus, Peter warned in 2 Peter 2, verses 1 to 2, "But there were also false prophets among you, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed." Through the years, I've learned the greatest potential for danger always comes from within the church. It always comes from within the church. Paul counseled the church at Rome in Romans 16, verse 17 and 18. He said, "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you learned. Avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple." In most cases, a dissension usually comes from within a group. First, because of the rebelliousness of these false teachers, they were the enemies of God. They were the enemies of His truth, and they were the enemies of God's people. They're a law unto themselves. Literally, they represent Satan. They don't recognize the authority of God's word or of God's Spirit, let alone those who teach and preach it. Second, they're idle talkers. If you've ever listened to them, you'll find they say things that hide what is false in ways to make it sound like the truth. They'll even use biblical words in sayings. They'll distort and take out of context. Paul says their preaching and teaching is based on their own speculations and on knowledge that is contrary to God's word. Third, they're deceivers. Proverbs 6, verse 16, 19. "These six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies." Listen to this seventh one, because God says it's an abomination to him: "and one who sows discord among brethren." The early Christians were mostly made up of Jews. That's what Paul meant when he referred to those of the circumcision. Some of them were Judaizers. The problem was they wanted all believers to conform to Jewish legalism, which include the Old Testament's ceremonial standards and their traditions. About 15 years earlier, at the Council of Jerusalem, Acts 15:5 says, But some of the sect of the Pharisees who believed rose up, saying, "It is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses." They were speaking of the new believers. Peter asked in verse 10, "Why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear?" Here's what's interesting. The influence of these Judaizers in the church must have been pretty strong. Well, why would you say that, Rick? Well, I'm glad you asked me. Even Peter got caught up in it. Yes, the Apostle Peter. In Galatians 2, verses 11 to 16, "Now when Peter had come to Antioch, Paul says, 'I withstood him to his face,' because he was to be blamed. For here's what happened. For before certain men came from James," remember James was one of the top dogs in Jerusalem there. This is a James that was Jesus' half-brother or stepbrother. "He would eat with the Gentiles," Peter would, "but when the Jews came, Peter withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision, the Jews. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas," son of encouragement, good old Barney, "was carried away with their hypocrisy. Paul said, 'When I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as a Jew, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified." Paul said, and he continued in verses 19 and 21, "For I through the law died to the law, that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, Christ died in vain." Verse 11 says, "Whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain." So these false teachers were going door to door. Man, does that ring any bells today? Nothing new under the sun, I'm telling you. They were teaching the people in their homes. That's exactly how cults get their converts. Peter tells us in 2 Peter 3, verses 15 and 16, "And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, and also our beloved Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all of Paul's epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures." You look at the history of the church. These false teachers have used their positions and twisted their messages for their own financial gain. You see the correlation here? Verse 12. "One of them, a prophet of their own, said Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. Therefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn from the truth." They had a reputation of being evil beasts and lazy gluttons. It means they behaved like wild animals. Instead of living for the blessings of the spiritual life, they lived for and had their own agendas. Paul wasn't telling Titus to condemn them. He was telling Titus to try and correct their doctrine and their sinfulness so they would be sound in the faith. We know the Jewish rabbis made a lot of traditional laws. This is what Paul was referring to as the commandments of men. These commandments were legalistic ordinances and standards that added to and many times contradicted or took away from the scriptures. Verse 15, to the pure all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but even their mind and conscience are defiled. Jewish legalism, like any other kind of legalism, thought a person can make himself acceptable to God by observing certain ceremonies and traditions that were considered good and by avoiding those that were bad. The idea is by doing or not doing certain things, a person is able by his own power and works to please and reconcile himself to God. It's a heresy of false religions. It's a works of righteousness. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. For by grace you've been saved through faith. Not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Paul said to the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. Even their mind and conscience are defiled. Verse 16, they profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. It comes down to this, bottom line. Only God knows a person's heart. But by the way a person lives, you can usually tell what's going on in their heart. By their words, they profess to know God, but by their works, they deny him. Sadly, because of their unbelief, Christ will deny them. Matthew 10, verse 33. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. And Father, I pray that we would gain some knowledge out of what you have just given us, Lord. We love you, Lord, and we just thank you. Go before us now. Bless the rest of our day. In Jesus' name, amen.